Since the 1950s, the design of the Lego toy hasn't really changed. That's allowed it to become a cross-generational touchstone to childhood memories. However, for hardcore fans, it's much more than just a toy. A new documentary coming to Ann Arbor's Michigan Theater this weekend explores the culture of Lego. Current State's Jamie Paisley spoke with its Oscar-winning co-director earlier this week.
Earlier this year, according to the business analyst firm Brand Finance, the Danish toy company Lego took top spot as the world's most powerful brand, beating out auto manufacturer Ferrari. A new documentary coming to Ann Arbor's Michigan Theater this weekend explores that brand as well as the community of builders that use Lego.
This is Daniel Jungi. I'm co-director of a Lego Brickumentary.
This story is about a simple toy and how its unique properties ushered in a new era of creativity for a whole generation.
Lego.
And particularly because Lego nowadays is celebrated and even branded to both kids and grown-ups, when Daniel began this project, which was the intended audience, adults or children?
Well, the genesis of the film was actually with the adult community, this huge community that's grown up around the toy at these conventions. But we knew that it was about the entire world of Lego. And of course, Lego is a toy for kids, so we intended from the start that the film would be, you know, good for adults and kids, which is, you know, for Keith and I, this is going to be the first film that either of us could show to our kids. So we decided to make it for both.
Covering the global phenomenon that is Lego meant plenty of travel. When Daniel realized how much time would be required, he called on a longtime friend of his, the Oscar nominee Keith Davidson, to be co-director.
Well, the nature of doing a film this expansive meant that Keith and I were mostly working on our own, and so we only got to see creations that the others shot not in person, but on film. So I think we were both a little envious of what each other shot. Keith got to do most of the filming with Nathan Sawaya, the serious artist that we are showing in the film. And when I saw that footage come back, I was just blown away. I wish I could have seen that one-man show in person myself.
And the way you assembled the film is kind of like Lego themselves. Smaller segments kind of framed and interlocked by a narrator, which you went with an animated narrator as well in the form of a Lego minifigure.
Well, the idea of a narrator was something that I was thinking of from the start, but we figured out pretty quickly that it was absolutely necessary, because if you liken this to literature, you know, Keith and I usually make films that are more like novels with a character or a set of characters with a single narrative. And this was more like a collection of short stories. And so to weave those short stories together, both narratively and thematically, we knew we needed a voice. And thankfully, Jason Bateman lent his voice to the film and his personality. And that really helps imbue the film with a kind of an additional ethos.
A carpenter by trade, he started a small wood shop, which burned to the ground. Not a great start, but Ola would not be dissuaded, so he built another one. It was around this time that Ola came up with the name Lego. It comes from the Danish phrase Lego, meaning play well. Then the factory burned down again.
Back in 2012, co-director Daniel Jungi won both an Emmy and an Oscar for his documentary Saving Face, which covered the weighty topic of the road to recovery by women attacked by acid burns in Pakistan. Even in this lighter topic film, addressing gender inequality becomes a through line for a Lego Brickumentary, as they visit Alice Finch, a Lego artist with expansive and intricate building techniques.
Yeah, Lego has traditionally, you know, been underrepresented with girls and women, and so it was important for us to feature a woman builder, and Alice's work is incredible, arguably some of the best in the film. And Alice is also outspoken about the need to get more girls and women building, so she was a great addition to the film.
One of my favorite things to do at a convention is to encourage the girls to build. Lego has historically really been focused on boys, and they have admitted that they have only been addressing half the population. They are now taking it seriously because I think there's a tremendous world of possibility that has been untapped so far.
In fact, Jungi covers the impact from some of those decisions that left Lego in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine this toy company, which is at its zenith now, was really facing hard times about a decade ago. And the truth is there's a multitude of reasons for that, but what we wanted to focus on especially was the fact that they kind of lost touch of their community and the ingenuity of their own product. And they were making far too many pieces which were unique to certain sets. The sets were getting easier to construct with fewer pieces. And so they sort of lost touch of the what was most incredible about Lego, which is the system and the simplicity of the system. You know, to their credit, and you see this in the film, they acknowledge this, and by paying attention to the community that had grown up around their toy, they really helped them rebound from those difficulties.
And as you visit some of those communities that you mentioned, using Legos in ways that the creators didn't intend, you can see that it's both a toy as well as a tool.
Well, it is a toy. At its heart, it absolutely is a toy, and we don't run away from that idea, but it's being used in so many different ways that really our guiding principle in the film was more than a toy, that we wanted to elaborate on the ways that it's being used in addition to a plaything for kids, and the fact that it's being used for things like architecture and city planning and even therapy for treatment of kids with conditions just shows that it is at times more than a toy.
In Denmark, because of the labor wages and because of the bad weather, you want to minimize the time at the construction site. So everything has to be like prefabricated elements put together in interesting ways. So if you can build it out of Lego, it can't be that difficult, can it?
With so many scenes in Lego Brickumentary featuring the various uses of Legos, how do you decide what makes the final cut?
Yeah, our hardest task in this film was not what to include, but what to keep out, because the Lego universe is ever expansive. And so we put a constraint on ourselves to only focus on the actual bricks themselves, even though Lego now is really a design company, a game company, an entertainment company. It was what people were doing with the actual bricks, which we wanted to focus on in the film.
So, Daniel, after spending so much time at the various conventions working and interviewing folks, are you ready to be a regular interview guest yourself at those conventions that'll be showing your documentary?
I'm just looking forward to going to one of these conventions as just an observer rather than working. More than anything, I'm looking forward to bringing my daughters, particularly my 7-year-old daughter, who's really been into her Lego prime. So I don't know which one I'll go to, because we cover a lot in the film. But I'm sure that she'll be blown away.
Daniel, thanks again for spending some time talking with us.
Okay, Jamie, thanks.
We interviewed Daniel Jungi, the Oscar-winning co-director of A Lego Brickumentary, showing in a limited engagement at the historic Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. More information at Mich Theater, michtheater.org.
My definition of adults that play with Legos are just tall kids.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.